welcome to This Song, the podcast where artists talk about the songs that formed and transformed them. I'm your host, Elizabeth McQueen, and this week we'll be hearing from Austin singer and songwriter Allie Holder. But before we get started, I want to let you know that if you live in Austin, Texas, then KUTX, the radio station where we make this podcast, well, we've got some pretty cool shows for you in July. We are hosting a series called Back to the Garden, and it will be at Threadgill's World Headquarters every Friday in July from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. The first Friday, July 6th, we'll have Kevin Russell, a.k.a. Shiny Ribs, and Austin R&B singer Alessia Lani. Friday the 13th, Erica Winterstrom from the Heartless Bastards will be there, along with Jeff Plankenhorn. It should be really cool. And if you live in Austin, you should totally come join us. Hey, if you don't live in Austin, you should still come. Make a trip out of it. It's going to be a blast. Speaking of Austin, our next artist, Allie Holder, is an Austin-based singer and songwriter. She blends folk and indie rock and country into this beautiful, often ethereal-sounding, emotionally-centered music. And she is, right now, in the middle of a crowdfunding campaign for her next record. She's raising money to cover the costs of recording, some of the costs of paying her band, and the cost of the Indiegogo rewards. And she wants this next record to explore the uncomfortable truths that don't often get talked about or get songs written about. She's got some cool rewards. Apart from the regular like download of the record and a t-shirt, you could also get a tarot reading, or you could get to co-write with Allie. That's pretty cool. Now, I've known Allie for a long time. This is Austin, after all. And I thought when I was getting ready to talk to her that I had an idea of the kind of song that she would pick, like maybe something folky, maybe something by a woman. But the song she chose, it was neither of these.
The song that I chose was Wake Up by Arcade Fire, which is interesting because I don't really listen to Arcade Fire. But this song like was a life-changing song for me. That song, I would just play on repeat over and over again. I don't know what it was about it. I think because I listen to mostly like folk music, it's like a lot louder and lots of screaming in it. And I just like how it builds too. It kind of gets like bigger and bigger, and then it just like explodes at one point and he starts screaming during the song. I just love that. It's like a good release of emotions. It feels like if the song were to be encapsulated in a feeling, like that's exactly what it is. Just like rising and rising until you just burst. A million little guys coming right down, coming at the good day to rest. I guess we'll just have to adjust. I was born with hepatitis C, and I didn't realize I had it till I was about 21. And then when I was 23, I moved back home to go through treatments once my school was up. And so I basically just like lived at home for 9 or 10 months while I went through those treatments. And they're like, it's interferon and ribavirin, which is kind of like a mixture of like chemotherapy and AIDS treatment. And between those two, like it kills the virus, which now they can totally eradicate it. But back then it was just, I mean, 2009 was only what, 9 years ago. It just made the virus dormant. So I was living at home, like going through those treatments, which were like horrendous. And they kind of, they destroy your body. They destroy like kind of, they kind of shifted my brain chemistry almost in a way that I'm kind of like a different personality than I was back then. I don't know. It's a pretty intense drug. Like I can't, I picture my brain as like all these neural pathways. And I feel like after that, some just started crossing in a different way than they did before. I don't know. Like it kind of shuts you down emotionally in a way that like I'm already from a family that's they're loving and wonderful, and I was raised very well. I can't complain, but we did not talk about emotions. We didn't really express feelings. There wasn't really like a place for that. And so when I heard this song, I think I was just able to be like, oh, this is like a great channel for releasing. And he talks about like, throw your mistakes up. Hold your mistake up before they turn the summer into dust.
Well, and it's interesting to me that you're not the first person who's brought this up about how sometimes certain songs, like, we use them to process emotion.
Yeah.
Like, why do you listen to a song on repeat? Why do we fall down holes with songs? And it's because sometimes they're a shortcut into emotion.
Yeah.
And they let us kind of go there and feel that thing. And sometimes we just need to keep feeling it and feeling it until we...
And then we can, like, stop feeling it when we want to by turning it off, which I think is important.
That's something that no one's ever brought up, actually, how, like, you can... It's like an on-off switch for emotion.
Yeah. Yeah, I just remember, like, jumping and crying and just, like, feeling that song. I don't know. It was interesting times.
Music at the time?
Yeah, I mean, I've always played music, but not like to the degree I am now. But yeah, I was still writing songs and singing and playing out. And I think, like, I mean, in Wichita Falls, there's not really a lot to play at. This, like, one bar let me play there once a week for like $40. And it was kind of like the thing I did to get me out of the house. So that was one thing that definitely kept me sane, was getting to play all my songs.
Did you spend a lot of time alone? I mean, because if you're feeling terrible all the time, you're not probably...
I did,
except for maybe once a week.
Yeah, I really did. Like, I would get these bursts of energy, and then I would just, like, crash. And I would basically just go to this garage apartment that I was half living in and blare this Arcade Fire song. And I would just paint for hours and just dance. And I don't know, I was working through all my demons, I guess. I was a heavy drinker for a long time, so... Like, for, you know, probably 6 or 7 years before all of that, before I went through all that treatment. And so, and I had to be completely sober during that time. And I think that was also, like, that was how I dealt with my feelings, was drinking. To not have that crutch, to just, like, have to feel my feelings while going through all this stuff, I think lends a song to that explosive, like, pre-therapy. I didn't start going to therapy until, like, I don't know, I went to grad school at UT, and they had, like, a free therapy program, but... Now, like, with a therapy lens, I'm like, oh, I just didn't have a way to, like, process or cope.
Can you pinpoint how you became different, like, mentally? I mean, you said you kind of think of yourself as a different person from before.
Yeah, I guess I feel like, I think I'm a lot more aware as a person. I feel like there was a lack of awareness I had before that. And I think when you're put in kind of like a, I mean, health issues are traumatic as it is. But I think when you're, like, young, and I had never really gone through anything like that before. So I think it just kind of really shifted my awareness on, like, oh, I'm not invincible, and I'm not, I don't know. I could not live forever. I mean, it was kind of like, take these treatments and you'll have another chance at living. You're like, you'll live past 40. Don't take these treatments and die before you're 40. I really just resonated with that song because it was all about, like, kids feeling their emotions. And, like, now when I teach kids, I'm like, if they need an outlet for anger, I want them to have it. Like, not if it's directed towards someone else, obviously, but they need to, like, go in the corner and, like, stomp and scream. Like, I would much rather them do that. I remember as a kid not knowing how to, like, express anger because I wasn't really allowed to But then I was also not supposed to have those feelings. So it's kind of like, how do you get that out without, you can't win.
That was actually like a part of that song that really struck me. Like as a parent, the first verse of that song says, "And they told me not to cry."
Yeah. Told me not to cry.
I mean, as I just like, in a moment, I was like, made me rethink all of my parenting.
Right?
It really got me. I mean,
me too.
So when you were a kid, though, there was just no room for emotion?
I mean, they were just very, I mean, like the sweetest, like church going people, but we never really like talked frankly about things. We never really discussed our feelings. Like I never really saw them express anything other than just neutral, you know? So I felt as if since that was the model I had, that was what I picked up on, was, oh, we have to like be even keeled. But I remember as a kid, like screaming into my pillow or like hitting my, I had like a 4-poster bed. Just, I would be angry for no reason. I didn't know why I was angry. I'm sure if I would have like delved into that as a kid or had that awareness to be able to do that, I would figure it out. But
you were attracted to art. You were attracted to visual art and also to music.
I'm drinking the booze for all the pain that I've caused him. I'm drinking the booze for all the pain it's caused me too.
Was that like you finding a place where you could go to express emotion?
I think so. I mean, I started writing songs when I was like 14. And I remember I would write about all these things that maybe I haven't even experienced yet, but that were like these really deep, intense emotions. And so, absolutely. Artwork didn't really become like a cathartic thing for me until probably I was in college and I had more resources and tools and, you know, but music's definitely always been an outlet for just expressing my feelings. And now all my music is like super expressive. It's like I can't even write just like a normal song. It's like all my feelings just come tumbling out. I don't know if that's ideal.
I have a hunger inside of me. It's often frightening, twisting and piercing, hollowing me. No, I am not of this world. I know you hate your doubts.
And this is Death Reborn from Allie Holder's last EP, Huntress Moon. And I love the idea that her work now, like, it's just all emotion, because really, what is music anyway? It's like emotion you can hear, right? And I can't wait to see what her next record, the one that she's raising money for, where she explores uncomfortable truths. Like, I can't wait to see what it's like. I'll post a link to her Indiegogo campaign on the show notes page for this episode at kutx.org, because I know you probably want to check it out. And if you are in Austin, you are in luck, because Allie Holder will actually be at Spider House Ballroom tonight, Wednesday, June 27th. If you live other places in Texas, you're also in luck. She'll be touring around Texas in late June and early July, and I will post a link to those tour dates on the show notes page for this episode. And I'll also have a link to Allie's My KUTX guest DJ set, where she plays the songs that she loves for you. Art Levy, who produces this song, also produces My KUTX, and it's always a good listen. You should totally check it out. And as always, I will have a Spotify playlist on the show notes page where you can listen to all the songs we referenced here all the way through. And that's it. You've come to the end of another episode of This Song. This Song is a production of 98.9 in Austin, Texas. This episode was edited by Nadia Hamdan and produced by Art Levy and me, Elizabeth McQueen. Kelly Seal is our excellent intern, and thanks to Deidre Gott and Peter Babb and Todd Callahan for all they do for this podcast. And it is true. Our theme song is Mahout by Austin's own Hard Proof. Right on. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.